Amen. Good evening. Praise the Lord. Good to see y'all and good Wednesday night crowd, and appreciate seeing everybody here and that good songs. Boy, appreciate Brother Mike. How many of you have heard that song or sang that song before, Jesus, Master of My Heart? Anybody here? One, two. Man, I like that. Learning these new songs, I hadn't either, and beautiful. I appreciate Brother Mike taking the time to teach us some new songs and help us to stretch out and, you know, step out of our comfort zone. You know, don't get me wrong. I mean, I have a lot more amplification. Nothing wrong with, I guess, do I need to move this around or something? All right. Brother Mike, you don't know if y'all messed around with that thing today, but Mike has a tendency of playing tricks on me, so I'm just making sure. I'm just kidding. But it is good to see everybody tonight, and like I said, we've got these songs. Boy, I love the old songs that, you know, a lot of people know, Jesus Loves Me. Hey, that's a wonderful song, but it's good to get out and learn some new ones too. Amen. And I encourage Brother Mike to do that, and we'll continue to do that, that we step out and learn new songs that we may not be used to, but we need to learn and be an encouragement in our worship of the Lord. Well, it's so good to, again, just be here on Wednesday night, isn't it?
Amen.
I mean, just to be here, set aside all the rushing and the busyness and the task at hand and, man, this and that. And I was out and about today and just in Athens. Thank God I wasn't in Atlanta, but I was in Athens. And just braking for people, slamming on brakes here and there, and people zoom, 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 you know. I'm like, man, I'm just ready to get out here in the cow pastures, amen. Get back to church, hallelujah, and be able to just take it easy. But I tell you what I've really been looking forward to is this Wednesday night prayer meeting. And us just having our family time together, time of prayer, time of in the Word. And church, I pray and trust that you'll never look at coming to the Wednesday night Bible study prayer meeting as a chore. I hope it'll be something you look forward to. And I don't know, maybe you're not like me, but I know midweek I'm needing some encouragement. I'm needing some refreshing and some renewing. And I tell you, if there's any place to get it, it's with God's people. With His Word and worship and just being together. And I know many of us are facing battles left and right, but we can come together here and take this battle that we do have and do it right and do it the way the Lord wants us to. Well, if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles, we'll start off this evening. I feel like it's morning in some ways. Now listen, y'all give preacher a little mercy now. Us girls hold me accountable. That's good, though. 1 Thessalonians. I'm sort of going to just give us a little bit of a... Tonight, I just sent some things in my own heart, and I feel like maybe this is what the Lord wants us to talk about tonight. We had a great Sunday, amen. It was a great spirit in the service, and just thankful for what God did on Sunday night, especially as we kicked off our Take It Personally, seeking to do more in our community than we've ever done before, and reaching the souls of men and women, boys and girls. And I just appreciate your attention and your desire. I wanted you to know that. I do sense that when I'm up preaching and teaching, and I do want you to know I do sense your interest and your desire and your encouragement about what we're trying to do. And that encourages your pastor, and thank God for what he's doing there. How many of you are liking this early spring weather? How many of you? Wow, man, that's the majority. And man, I hear you. How many of you want it to stay cold for a while? Man, I tell you, we are a divided church. But that's all right. We'll get the best of both worlds. You ones that raised your hand in the first group, y'all enjoy it for a week because it's going to get cold again, okay? And we'll enjoy it a little while, and we'll take turns with it. But if there's any way you can look at it, just thank God it ain't August yet. Amen? that's the truth there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll get to the verse here in a second. But we'll continue in our Take It Personally study on Sunday night. Please remember to bring your books on Sunday night. We're going through this together. If you need a book, please let somebody know. We'll get you one. We have extra, and we'll make sure you have one of those. If you don't, please just take good notes. If you didn't get one and you don't really care for one, I just would at least you to take good notes and try to be in tune with this study. And as I was preaching on Sunday night, we were talking about the value of one. And the Lord used that in our church, and that is what we are focusing on. We're focusing on that one. One soul at a time. And there's a verse that we're going to study about on Sunday night in our study. We're going to get into the verse there in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, where it talks about the Son of Man who came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I don't want to go ahead and get too much into that, but there was a seeking from the Lord Jesus, a true seeking. And folks, that's what we're going to do. We're gonna follow in the footsteps of our Savior, and we're going to seek after our neighbors. We're going to seek after our community. We're not going to sit around and wait for them to come to us. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit does do that, and I'm thankful for that. That folks that just drop in and say, God, just felt like God was leading me here, and I'm thankful for that. But that is not the norm. And we're going to go out seeking those that will respond to God's Word. And as we've been preparing for this, we talked about the value of one. We talked about the reality of heaven. We talked about the reality of hell and how that should motivate us. We talked about the reality of eternity. We talked about the value of a soul. We don't just see people. We just don't see bodies. We see souls. And as we are preparing for this, God has just impressed upon my heart very heavily in the past few days, especially today, though, that we need to really be ready. And I don't mean just to share the gospel. We are going to get ready for that. We're going to be teaching of that, practical lessons on that. But we just need to be ready spiritually. Our hearts. Because I'm sensing in my own life that as we are progressing, as we are going further and in this great commission and reaching our community, I'm sensing that the enemy, Satan, is seeking to hurt us. He's seeking to harm our desire in getting out there and making an eternal difference. And I feel like as your pastor, I have a responsibility tonight to just share some encouraging thoughts to you and helping us prepare our hearts and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, but and yet being ready for the attacks of Satan. And asking God to help us, to protect us as we go and make an eternal difference. Because if there's one thing's for sure, I don't believe for a bit that Satan is omniscient. I don't think he's all knowing, but he does know a lot. And one thing I believe he does know, if there's anything on Satan's radar, it is a gospel loving, gospel spreading New Testament church. And I believe, I don't understand all this, but I believe in the spiritual warfare and the armies of demons that are all around this earth that are working for Satan. I do believe that there is something that they know when a church like Crooked Creek Baptist Church is getting serious about the Great Commission.
Amen.
And I believe that He, when that happens, I'm just telling you from what the Word of God says, it only makes logical sense when a church says, I want to take it personally, He's going to send reinforcements. He's going to send more demons, more spiritual warfare our direction, and we need not think one moment that the battles are not going to shoot higher here. They're going to rage even stronger, and we got to be ready. As we take it personally, we got to take the spiritual warfare personally. Now, folks, if we were living in a fantasy land, we could think to ourselves, oh, we're going to go out here and start telling people about Jesus. Jesus is going to start healing homes, marriages, children. God's going to start saving people. And then we just not have one battle or fight on our hands. That's fantasy world. That's not reality. Satan's not going to give up these homes without a fight. And I'm praying that the Lord, as we go into this lesson, I just don't want this just to be another program. I don't want this just to be just another little thing that we do, a Bible study type curriculum, and we just go through it. Yay, we finished it. What's next? But no, my friends, it is time that we realize we are at war. Amen. And the only thing that this Take It Personally book is doing is going to help us, give us tools for our battle. And I want to share a verse with you that I believe Paul says very clearly in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. Look there in your Bibles. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I believe Paul here speaking to these believers is simply explaining to them the battles that he's facing and the things that are raging before his very eyes. And if you look there and 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 18, he says here, verse 17 first, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart," now he's saying, listen, I'm always thinking about you, "endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire." And then look at verse 18, "Wherefore we have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." I want us to think about that term here in the little time we have tonight about Satan hindering us. Let's pray. Father, I just want to first of all thank you for Jesus and the wonderful, wonderful love that He shed on Calvary's cross by shedding His blood. And Lord, I thank you for the Savior. And I thank you also for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Lord God, we come before you with much adoration this evening and thank you for how great you are. You know, Lord, we're a bunch of broken vessels that need to be put together daily. Lord, would you help us in our weaknesses? Would you strengthen us? Would you guide us? And Lord, please, oh God, I beg you in Jesus' precious name, please help us to be ready for the battle. Holy Spirit, would you teach us tonight? Would you warn us? Would you admonish us? Would you prepare us, oh God, for what's ahead? As we see souls won to Thee, as we see you bring great victories in the lives of so many around us, folks that we've not even met yet, oh God, we're asking you to show yourself mighty and strong as we present ourselves to Thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Well, just as Joshua and Caleb, you remember the message I preached the other night on Vision Day, or that it was actually a morning message. Boy, they were going into the promised land that God given them, and they had the other 10, and boy, they were saying, no way, Jose, and all the battles we got, you talking about those giants, those walled cities, we're not going. And so what we need to realize is that we don't need to stick our heads in the sand and not think. I don't believe Joshua and Caleb did for one moment. They never said there wasn't any walls. They never said there wasn't any thick walls. They never said there weren't any giants. They just said, hey, we are well able to overcome. And I believe that's exactly what God will do with us in the coming days. We're going to We're going to see some walls fall. But it will not be without a battle. And if there's something I can encourage you with tonight, let's just covenant in our hearts that we're going to consider it a battle, a fight. We need to be aggressive and understand that we go fighting, but we go fighting in the power of God. Amen. Just like those fellas marching around the cities of Jericho, they went out there looking like idiots to the rest of the city. What are these guys doing? They're foolish. They didn't realize the power of God was on them. And look what God did. And God's going to do the same thing as we march around this city. As we march in Jesus' name. That word hinder there, Paul is speaking of, he was seeking on a course. He was wanting to go, come back and encourage the brethren. He was wanting to come back and continue preaching the gospel and see more people changed and more lives changed. But you know what happened? It says Satan hindered. What does that word hinder mean? It means to cut into. You ever had somebody cut you off? I know everybody here acted like angels when they did it too, didn't they? Cut you off. You were on a course. You were just fine. And then all of a sudden, I think it happened a couple times today, somebody slams on brakes and you have no earthly idea why. And just wonderful, honoring thoughts come to mind when that happens. You have to repent. I think I had to repent on that today. But it happens, and people cut us off and to impede the course and just mess your direction up. And you know what? That's exactly what Satan's wanting to do. He is wanting to take our church off course as we go forth taking the Great Commission personally. And he has many ways of doing that. Of course, we know he has power to do it physically. We know even with the Apostle Paul, we know with Job, we know with others, that Satan does use physical ailments and physical things to hinder people. But he uses all kinds of tricks to hinder what we're doing. I'll tell you some practical things that I know he uses very seriously, and just these are just a few that come to mind, and I'm saying these because I want us to be careful, church. Because I feel like God is dealing with me in my own heart, and I just wonder, as I am struggling, I'm thinking, Lord, is the flock struggling too? Things like a critical spirit. That's not something I like to talk about, but that's something I am tempted to have. Being critical. Being critical of why you're doing it like that. Or why you're doing this. Why has it got to be like that? Critical in life about whatever is in life at that time and just being a critical God. Hey, listen, Satan will take that and cause a hindrance to the gospel. It will drain the spirit of the church. And if we are filled with critical spirits in our church, I want to tell you, we're going to go out there handicapped. And it's going to be a hindrance. Listen, you just go ahead and tell you how to combat a critical spirit. Just keep it simple. That's the way I got to. What about y'all? But I got to. Yes, I use KISS on me, T. Keep it simple, stupid. That's what I tell myself. We need to be thankful. We just need to be thankful. Say, well, listen, maybe you don't understand the way something is or the way something happened, but just say, God, you know what you're doing. I just want to be thankful and realize that you're in control. But not only a critical spirit will Satan use to hinder a church, but I want to tell you another thing, a contentious spirit. Somebody that's angry. Somebody that's bitter. That, my friend, will truly hinder the gospel message. And we got to do our best as a church not to have a contentious spirit, just waiting somebody to push us the wrong way. Waiting on somebody to cross us. That right there is a contentious spirit. And that, my friend, we have to battle against and say, no, I'm not going to have that. There's that temptation, as I preached on the renewing of your mind. Folks, I want to tell you, it is natural for the mind to be contentious. The natural mind. It really is. There's a tendency to want to be a contentious individual without the controlling Spirit of God. But not only a contentious spirit, but I think about how we need to be careful of a calloused spirit. God help us not to be calloused. Can I say this to you, church, as we begin our desire of organizing in our outreach and making it more effective for God's glory? And I want to say this very carefully and graciously, because it happens to all of us. Yes, even a pastor, even evangelist, even missionaries. I can't tell you how many times I was out there in the Sahara Desert and I allowed my heart for a season to grow calloused against these Muslims that I'm seeking to. They don't care about me. They look down on me. And here I am trying to save them from eternal hell. And this is the way they treat me. And I become calloused. You've got to guard against that. Don't let your heart grow calloused against sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't feel in your heart or your mind, hey, there's no use. The people aren't going to listen. Nobody's going to get saved. Nobody's going to get changed. You know what that is? That's a calloused heart. And the only way to combat that is to say, Lord, I want my heart to be tender. We need to pray that. And that's what I'm going to encourage you tonight when we break up in prayer time. I'm going to ask you to pray against these characteristics. Ask God to protect us from these things. And then to go along with calloused, I would say also something that will hinder, Satan will use to hinder, and that is a careless spirit. People going to hell. What's that mean to me? Folks, that grieves the heart of God. We need not to be careless. We need to care more. And ask God, again, let's just be honest, church. We can't work this up. This stuff ain't artificial. We can't put this on. I'm sorry. Y'all might can, but I sure can't. If I do, I always end up looking dumb anyway. And trying to put on an act, you know, you can't put this stuff on. It's got to be empowered and renewed by God's Spirit. And that's what I'm asking you tonight as we get ready to break up in prayer. Pray, God, please, as we move forward for You, oh God, please protect us from Satan hindering us and using our own critical spirits, or contentious, or being calloused or careless. Lord, protect us from that. There'd be nothing that would thrill the heart of Satan more than to see this church get divided, and especially in such a time as this. He'd love to get brothers and sisters to turn against each other, start thinking ill of each other. Hey, listen, I'm a firm believer in this. I believe that Satan is powerful enough to make people hear in a different way than it was said. And when you say that, it's because what happens sometimes, somebody will say something and then it will be received in a different way. And I believe Satan can affect that to where that person ends up getting bitter and angry, and there becomes division, and it just builds in so many ways, great contention, because you know what? There was something said that was in no way intended to be received that way. And then there's division that Satan will try. Tonight, when we break up in prayer, I'm going to ask you, church, please, would you covet with me? Would you go to the throne of God with me and beg God to protect us from division? Lord, we want to go forward for You. Satan is going to start bringing in the reinforcements. He's going to start throwing the darts more fiercely and more consistently. And we need to be ready for that. You remember the study? Go back and let's review our notes, church, from the study on the armor of God. And let's realize we're in a battle and get ready for His attacks. You know, with division there comes also the struggle of doubt. Well, is this going to work? We tried things before and they just don't work and they don't seem to work. And man, then there comes over a spirit of doubt. And then from a spirit of doubt comes a spirit of discouragement. And then from a spirit of discouragement you have apathy. And then it just, Satan is shouting with the demons and they're all celebrating. Look what we've done. But by God's grace, that will not happen here. And the verse I'm claiming is the verse I'm closing with. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse number 14. Second Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14 says this: Now thanks be unto God, which what, church? Always causeth us to what? And who? And maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. I'm claiming that verse. I'm claiming that verse, church, and I want us to claim it. We got a promise here that Paul says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he says, listen, now thanks be unto God which always causeth us to triumph in Christ.
Amen.
The victory is ours. And we're going to claim that. And guess what he says? And maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. You know what he's saying? He's going to let the sweet-smelling savor of Jesus Christ come through Paul and his team. Wherever they go, in every place. And that's what I'm praying. I'm praying as God leads us to these doors, as God leads us to these neighborhoods, I'm praying that folks would just get the sense and savor of the goodness and glory of Jesus Christ. I'm praying that, church, and I ask you to pray that with me. Let's ask, Lord, listen, Lord, let Jesus be shown through us as we go out. And let us be effective. We're going to triumph. The victory is ours. The victory is ours. And we're going to claim it in Jesus' name. Oh, what a wonderful thing that we can claim that Jesus is the victor. And I know Satan's going to battle us, folks. He's going to seek to hinder us. He's going to seek to cut off our course. But I just ask you with me, as I was even thinking about this morning, I was dealing with a wrong spirit. I had an angry spirit this morning. And as I was struggling, I sensed more than ever God saying, look, you're letting Him in. You're remember what we talked about, the armor of God. You're letting a crack get in the armor. So I guess my last exhortation to you tonight is simply this. Let's close up the armor. Make sure it's on tight. Make sure you got your sword. Make sure you got your shield of faith. Let's make sure that we realize that Satan is going to seek to hinder us. But what we got to do is say, no, we're not going to let it happen. We're going to go forward. And may Jesus Christ get the glory and may souls be saved. Oh, what a glorious time that will be as we claim the victory in Jesus. Let's pray.